I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about an innovative program coming to Indianapolis that encourages LGBT young people to see past difficulties and embrace their lives. It Gets Better is the program's name, and it is part of the Clues Conversation series. My guests are James Kramer, who is Clues Hall's Community Relations Manager, Butler University Professor Brandy Oliver, and Miranda Warden, the Indiana Youth Group's Director of Programs and Training. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is nolimitswfyi. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking about one of the Clues Conversations, a program called It Gets Better. It's actually a series of conversations that will roll through much of the next week and a half. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are James Kramer, who is Clues Hall's Community Relations Manager, Brandy Oliver, who is a Butler University professor in the School of School Counseling, College of Education, and Miranda Warden, who is with the Indiana Youth Group and is the Director of Programs and Training. Welcome to all of you.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
It's good to have you all here. Well, James, start out. Tell me about the Clues Conversations and It Gets Better. Give me the logistics here.
Yeah, we've got a performance on the 30th, Saturday night, 30th, 8 o'clock. This is a program that the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles, 8 cast members will be presenting. And that all of the things between now and then leading up to that are to touch on different parts of the community and to build awareness, and this really helps us do that.
What sort of awareness are we trying to build here?
I think awareness of what challenges there are in our community, in the world, but especially right here in our area, and some resources, and then possible solutions by bringing us all together in conversation. I think it really allows us to talk through a lot of things and progress.
Brandy, this is more obviously than just the performance on the 30th. It's a more extended treatment of the subject. Could you talk a little bit about that, about what all is involved here?
Yeah, we're really excited that the troupe is going to be able to visit area schools during the week that they're here and do just extra outreach and education. And really on Monday the 25th, we're having an educator workshop because we know that this is a topic that many educators in schools are eager to address, and they're constantly seeking additional resources and support. And I think that, you know, Indiana's come a long way. We've adopted, you know, the HEA 1423, the anti-bullying legislation, and so this just does an extra, I think, a supportive job to say, okay, we can't forget, even though we've done some great work with bullying, this is still a very significant issue, and specifically this population of youth are targeted at much higher rates than other students in school communities.
And Miranda, how, you know, we're talking about bullying, but there's also a component, obviously, of bullying based on status of some kind, of being, you know, in this context, LGBT. How big a problem is that? We'll narrow it down. We'll start. How big a problem is it in American culture, and then specifically, how big a problem is it here in Indiana?
It is one. It continues to be one. And, you know, I think politically the climate has shifted and the narrative has shifted to be more accepting in a general sense, I think, on a national level. But the response to that shift has been somewhat of a louder, has been louder from people who are continue to be rejecting of LGBTQ folks. And that we've seen that a lot here locally in Indiana. And so the youth that we serve at IYG, LGBTQ youth, ages 12 to 20 and their families, and that's everything that we're trying to do, is not to just empower the youth, because you can empower the youth all day long and they can come to IYG and, you know, have supportive programs and everything. But if we don't address the family systems, if we don't address the school systems, if we don't educate people in the community, like having conversations like this and shows and such, like It Gets Better, then the work that we do at IYG inside our tiny center is null and void. So it continues to be an issue that is evident in all of those different systems.
How much, you know, in this state, obviously, we have had a lot of conversations in the past couple of years, starting with the battle over the proposed constitutional amendment, and then the RFRA fight last year. Presumably another, we're set for another Donnybrook over adding language protecting, adding LGBTQ citizens to the state's civil rights laws. In this context, does this make this kind of discussion even more important, and why? I'm going to give all three of you a crack at it, but I'm going to start with Miranda.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's a pivotal time to be having these conversations and having them openly and candidly about what the real implications are for legislation that needs to be inclusive and enumerated for the LGBTQ community. So I think this is a pivotal point in our state's history, but also specifically for the LGBTQ community in gaining those protections or not. And so having this conversation in this point in time, as soon as the session has just begun, I think is pivotal.
Mm-hmm. Brandy?
Yeah, I would just echo what Miranda said. And I think that any time that we have an opportunity to sit down and have a conversation, that's where great things start to happen, and you bring people together and you see action and discourse that, you know, can lead to great things. And I think that that's what's really exciting about the It Gets Better. And we've been meeting for months talking about these things and being very intentional about our planning. And so now, you know, it's here and it's starting to bubble up. And so I'm really excited to see potential, the ripple effects that it's going to have, not just in Central Indiana, but within our entire state.
James, was this deliberate on the part, you know, Clues Conversations is not, is more than just this one program, but was the timing, you know, with the legislature in session and at the start of the session when bills are still, you know, alive and possibilities still exist to move things along, was the timing intentional on when to put that? Yes?
Yes. Okay. Well, you know, in terms of the, where it falls in our season, I think that it was intentional to have this program this year. Mm-hmm. Opportunity came to us. We, a year ago, were talking about where this would fit into the season with their schedule and with our schedule. And intentional in the fact that we felt it was very important. And they felt it was very important for them to come here to really help guide this conversation further. So it was, we all agreed, and what we can do at Clues is present a, I want to say, a safe environment for people to come and be entertained with some things that they may or may not be comfortable with, but they come away with that, and that's goes back to our core mission of lifelong learning and through the arts. We have this opportunity to present to people a setting, a situation in a show format, and then have a Q&A afterward. We are going to be adding that. That's something that it would just feel is necessary. If you've seen a show and you want to talk about this, and especially this kind of a show that elicits conversation, we really need to have that immediately after the show. Have a chance to talk with the cast and what they're going through, and fellow cast members or fellow audience members. Because I feel that people come to the theater with different goals in mind, and to certainly be escaped, to be entertained, but also come away with a different view of some things. Whether you went to see Wizard of Oz this past week, or whether you're going to see Johnny Mathis in the spring, you've have an opportunity to come away transformed in some way. And this is, I think, really important for our community. It's not just fluff entertainment. This has some real depth and context, and is real life seen on stage and brought right back to us.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about It Gets Better, an innovative program that's coming to Clues Hall on January 30th. But it's really about a discussion about bullying, particularly as it targets LGBTQ citizens, young citizens in our state. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866 476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Miranda, you know, obviously the genesis of this sounds like, as I'm putting together the timeline from what James says, started thinking about doing a program such as this right around the time RFRA blew up last year, and it became a way to transform the conversation. Does that kind of attention, I mean, in many ways, Indiana, because of the whole RFRA dispute and maybe some carryover from the battle over the proposed constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage the year before, became national, international poster child for trying to put this in as neutral a fashion as possible, for saying basically that protection shouldn't be extended to citizens based on their gender or sexual orientation. You know, did that make the challenges that young LGBTQ citizens in this state face greater, or, well, I'll just leave it out there rather than...
What did it do?
What did it do?
Well, actually, it's
at the street level. Yeah,
absolutely. It's absolutely a two-sided coin. So on the one sense, did it seem as if this state was not a welcoming state for LGBTQ youth? Yes. And did that affect our youth? Yes, absolutely. As soon as the debate and the argument, when it passed, I mean, we were a part of, you know, advocacy efforts prior to its passing, but once it passed and was signed and the media blew up then afterward, there was a lot of conversation had around IYG and with the families we serve and such around what this means. Does this mean I shouldn't stay here for college? Does this mean I shouldn't stay here to find a job? What kind of real-life implications does this have for me and on my life? And, you know, a lot of big-name companies have come out saying, yes, absolutely, it affects, you know, the economy of the state and whatnot. That's not obviously my business. My business is how does it affect our youth? And those were the questions that were being asked in the conversations and the discussions that we were having around the House. And the other part of that, too, was Dr. Stephen Russell, when he was at University of Tucson, he's in UT Austin now, but he did some research around the rhetoric, simply the rhetoric around bills such as these have an effect on the depression and the anxiety and the suicidal thoughts and those rates of youth who are listening. So whether they're voting age or not, whether they're considering college or not of that age or of trying to find a job and trying to figure out their economic future, just the kind of rhetoric and debate being had about their very nature and their very lives has affected them and their depression and so on. So yeah, absolutely. The other side of it is those who are in support, supported loudly. And we're trying to make that message very clear to our youth as well, which was beautiful to see.
Brandy, presumably you were teaching while all of this was going on. I mean, what was the reaction in the classroom?
Yeah, we had some really great conversations, obviously, at that time. And I think that that's what I would echo is it brought everything to the surface. We were talking about it. There was a lot of on social media. And not only were we given an awareness about the mental health concerns of these students, but also it really, I think, lit a fire for people that we can't just keep it in our classroom. We can't just keep it in a bubble of safe supporters, that we really needed to use our voice and advocate. And really, I think you saw some really neat action. And I think, if anything, that's what we'd like to have that, you know, momentum continue. And hopefully with the show, that kind of what James was referring to, everybody's going to enter at a different place. I think there's a continuum of where we all enter. And so hopefully that just continues to push us a little bit. And the power of story, I think, is great. And that's what I'm excited about, watching the show and really hearing the different stories of the troop and then the stories that are shared by various students, because I think that's where a lot of learning takes place, is through shared experiences.
James, what do you hope this performance, It Gets Better, will accomplish?
A more open dialogue in our community. Hopefully that when the show is over, 9:30, 10 o'clock on that Saturday night, that is just the start, or the, you know, from there on it continues, and hopefully enlightens people to be more accepting and just get along. I mean, it seems so simple, and but I mean, our desire is to not incite arguments, but to really create an environment for civil dialogue, if you will.
If you are just joining us, excuse me, we are talking about It Gets Better, which is part of the Clues Conversation series. I also should say it is part of American Graduate. This program right now is part of American Graduate. Our ongoing conversation about the importance of young people and setting them on the path to successful lives and happy lives and careers by putting them on the path to graduation. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. My guests are James Kramer of Clues Hall, Butler University Professor Brandy Oliver, and Miranda Warren of the Indiana Youth Group. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about a Clues conversation, It Gets Better, which is really a program designed to illustrate the challenges that certain young people face in encountering bullying. I think it's somewhat generic on the subject of bullying overall. There are lessons for everyone. Mm-hmm. But there is a focus particularly on LGBTQ young people in our society. My guests are James Kramer, who is Clues Hall's Community Relations Manager, Brandy Oliver, who's a Butler University professor, and Miranda Warden, who is with the Indiana Youth Group. She's the Director of Programs and Training there. Well, we were talking about what we hope the takeaways will be for the people who see this. I think some of the message I'm gathering is in the title, It Gets Better. Is there is that some of the what we hope to carry away, that not just the tolerance of the people who might not be fully accepting, but also a message to the young people who are the victims of bullying, that this can be endured, that there is another side. You can get to the other end of this. Miranda, I'm going to start with you.
Sure. I remember when Dan Savage and the It Gets Better project started several years ago. It was definitely for a lot of the conversations I was in grad school at the time, conversations I was having with peers and wasn't working with youth at that point, obviously, was a message of hope, a message of, yeah, this is something that we can get through. I think an interesting response to this, though, has been the Make It Better project, which obviously without the It Gets Better project wouldn't exist. And so what that has been this very youth peer led movement of, we're not going to wait complacently, we're going to take action. So the Make It Better project exists as well. And so I think Dan Savage has just done this beautiful thing for LGBTQ youth, that instilling of the hope with It Gets Better, but also, like Brandy was speaking to earlier, lighting this fire to create some action to make it better as well.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about It Gets Better, one of a series of conversations about bullying and LGBTQ youth. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at wfyi, or you can do what Tessa has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Tessa, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I had a comment about the cost of the program, actually. I'm a Butler student. I'm both queer and trans, so that's a great little intersection. But I'm also, short on money, and the program at Clues, the lowest ticket prices are $15. That's for military and student. But the rest of the tickets are at least $25, and I think that that's extremely exclusive for a group of people that are consistently underemployed, you know, incarcerated, have mental health issues. It's really disappointing.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Tessa. James.
Very good point. And to that end, we are still selling tickets for those that would like to purchase, but all other tickets are free now. We believe this is such an important program. The what we're doing leading up to this, as well as the performance itself, that we want to bring this to the community, and we've made this commitment behind this. So all those tickets are now available for anyone who wants to come.
And January 30th?
Yes.
So
yes.
They're free.
It's so sort of... Yes. Free tickets are available. So in response to that, we just want to make sure people realize and get there.
Where would they go to get these free tickets?
We have some links that we're directing people to, various groups that we've been working with, but now in the general public. We certainly the box office is available to do that, as well as through those links. So, it's a few steps to get to me to get that link, but we can certainly have people come to the box office as well.
So, is there a URL though that they can visit at all? Or is
I'm going to have to look and find that. Without the information right in front of me here.
The other thing we can do is obviously those of you who are listening, if you are interested in this program, we will make sure that we put it on our Facebook page too. Mm-hmm. So that if you go to our Facebook page at No Limits WFYI. You can find it there.
Great.
We'll do that. Good. And if you locate it during the course of the conversation, okay. I will come back to you, James,
okay.
and we will pop in. I'm going to take a call now from Jim. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you very, very much. And I'm thinking when I graduated from Southport High School in 1967, where was Dan Savage? Back then I was thinking, I was a freak and I was going to outgrow this, and I believed that there was no hope. And I think this is a wonderful program, but I think one of the drawbacks may be that we're going to be preaching to the choir, literally. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice, I think you should literally invite Governor Pence, not that he'd attend, but if he had some open-minded legislators, this might actually help change their minds.
Thanks very much for the call. And I'm not sure it's a question, Jim, so much as a suggestion. I'll throw this one to James.
Thank you. Yes. Well, one of our activities we're doing is called a World Cafe. That'll be next Friday night, the night before the show. It's on the 29th. And we did, in fact, invite the governor, as well as other legislators, community leaders, school administrators. I mean, a real broad range of folks that we feel are in key positions in our community to guide this conversation. And from both sides of what we perceive are their perceptions. So I think that's an extremely important part of it. And we're just now receiving those RSVPs for that invitation event. He was definitely on our list. And we.
I want to take the spirit of James' question. I'm a little bit younger than he is, but I know, at least when I talk with my students, Brandy, I mean, you're dealing with college students on a regular basis as well. I want to play off of the title a little bit. Has it gotten better in the time? Because I know the levels of bigotry that existed when I went to high school, and questioning someone's sexual orientation was about the deadliest insult you could deliver when I was a young man. And to some degree now, when I talk to my students, they say, we just don't get that from, those days. This whole question of who you love or sexual orientation doesn't matter nearly as much to us as it did you. Is that your perception, Brandy? But I do want to hear everybody's thoughts on this.
I think with the raised awareness, and I think we're talking about it more, so and I want to be hopeful, so I do think it is getting better. As I said, I think we're taking some steps to begin the conversations, to continue the conversations. I think schools have some good policies in place. Some have better policies in place. Some have, good practices. So I think there's a lot of components for educators to create safe and welcoming schools. And policy is great, but if it's just a policy that's in writing and there's no action or teeth to that policy, then kids are quickly going to pick up on that. And GLSEN does a great school climate survey, and so we have some good data to see where Indiana students feel as far as their safety. And unfortunately, those numbers have not changed significantly. So this population still feels verbally attacked, harassed. We don't have enough Gay Straight Alliance student-led clubs in the state. So I think there's still, we have plenty of room for growth and improvement. But I think we're making strides, and I think it's continued conversations like we're having right now that we're going to continue to have next week on campus, and that we're going to be out in schools that will continue to keep shaping this, and hopefully youth will see that hope and feel that hope and continue to feel like it's getting better.
Miranda, have we made progress or not?
I think absolutely. We would be remiss not to be mindful of the progress that we have made. But one thing I do want to point to specifically to this question is LGBTQ doesn't even include all the letters of the identities that exist within this community and within this population. And specifically the T, those who are trans, those who are gender nonconforming, those individuals, and that part of our population is being so attacked at such a greater level and rate. And
why is that? I'm sorry to interrupt
you.
Why is that? Because you're right. In the legislation, it's sort of like, okay, we can deal with the LGB part of this, but when we get to the T, we have to stop there. What is it about that whole question of gender that that seems to provoke extreme reactions with people?
It really does, and I think it's deep-rooted misogyny in this society that we live in, and it's being perpetuated just against those who are gender nonconforming. Because I think to speak in very general terms, as a society, we want to put things in these nice little neat boxes so that we can understand it. And if something doesn't fit in those boxes and we can't understand it, then we seem to, as a people, are afraid of it and want to, quote unquote, protect ourselves against this thing that we just simply don't understand. And I do think that the importance of having these conversations, talking to trans people, talking to gender nonconforming people, listening to trans people, listening to gender nonconforming people, and having very genuine conversations will maybe not instill understanding, but also understanding isn't required, but will instill some empathy and some sympathy for the reality of these people's lives. And so though I think we've made some awesome progress as far as LGB is concerned, we do have a long way to go for the T in gender nonconforming.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about bullying and really the burdens that LGBTQ young people have to bear as they make their way through life. If you would like to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Well, we've got a shout-out, actually, for IYG from a listener named B on Facebook who says, Indiana Youth Group is an enormous organization saving lives every day. Heart emoticon, thank you. So that's got to make you feel good. So I want to pick up on what we were talking about, the level of this discussion. I mean, the fact that most of the attention that's been focused on the T part of this, on the question of gender, has been focused on restrooms of all things in this state, as if that were, you know, one of the top threats facing Indiana right now. Is a program like this attempt to elevate a conversation that, you know, probably, you know, would have to ground itself far more in reality just to get back to surreal? James.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, and it sort of piggybacks onto what we were just saying about the it getting better. I think that when we first started this, we saw a need, certainly, but knew that things were moving so rapidly, which may be another challenge for some folks. It's moving faster than they can get their heads around. But we knew that when we got to almost a year out from initial scheduling, the hot topic may be different. Mm-hmm. You know, what was really needed was our work group to come together to identify where we are. And this was starting in the summer. What are our needs now, and projecting what they may still be needing in January? Certainly, things aren't going away, but I think the understanding is increasing. And I think that this is addressing that. It isn't just keeping it silent anymore. It is bringing the conversation up. And that's a real challenge if people don't have the information, if they don't have the tools, if they don't have the skills. And we're trying to create a safe environment to people to come and express their concerns and their lack of understanding or lack of awareness. And we can help provide that and give them information so they can go away and make their own decisions of how to interact with one another. But I think we're providing some material, some real guts to this, not just, oh, it's a show.
And that's one of the cliches, I think, about this, that it is moving so quickly, that the transformation in public, the way the public views this whole question. But in some ways it hasn't. I mean, in a previous life, I was the executive director of what was the Indiana Civil Liberties Union at the time, is now the ACLU of Indiana. And I remember when we first dealt with this issue, you know, in terms of litigation, close to 15 years ago, you could look at the polling data, you could look at the focus group information, and see that really, even then, this is where the public was moving. That there was a clear generational break and all of that, which probably intensified the resistance on the other side because they knew time wasn't likely to be their friend. But in some ways, it also created an aura of inevitability. How does that alter how we have to shape this kind of dialogue? Brandy.
So I just want to get some clarification.
Sure.
So how can you repeat the question?
Sure. I guess what I'm saying is there is a sense, really, I mean, the Supreme Court's already ruled on the question mm-hmm. of same-sex marriage, and presumably, you know, the Bill of Rights and all of that still applies to every citizen regardless of sexual orientation or gender. You know, so in many ways, what we're arguing about now are more marginal issues than what people would have considered bedrock ones 20 years ago. Mm. How does that change how you have to shape the conversation?
I don't know if it's so much like what we're doing to change the conversation. I think it's maybe a different entry point into a conversation. I still think that there's significant space to move all of it forward. I don't mm-hmm. know that just because we've reached some great milestones in our country mm-hmm. that we are we don't want to be complacent, I guess. I still think there's huge work to be done. And I think if anything, when we talk about, you know, transgender, it's going back to what Miranda said, there's a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know, I don't understand, and I'm fearful. And that fear sometimes looks like hate and anger and where we would like to maybe shape conversations of just being okay to step outside your comfort zone and let's just listen. I talk a lot to my grad students about the difference between listening and hearing mm-hmm. and to just sit and listen to someone's story rather than hearing and try to come up with a rebuttal of, well, if you did this or if you didn't do that. And so having those conversations and spaces to just really listen. And so I think that that's where we are as far as the entry point is it's just maybe it's changing shape a little bit. But I still think we're talking about a lot of the similar issues that we have been the last, you know, few years even.
I think there's a way for me to simplify the question for you, Miranda.
Oh, great.
That is, in some ways, you know, the issue was was one of defending against assaults. But now, really, it's about pushing the conversation to one more of inclusion. How does that transform the conversation? I realize I'm doing this, and you've only got about 30 seconds. We can pick it
sure.
up on the other side.
Well, I think that gives us an opportunity, those of us who are serving LGBTQ youth, to not just focus on survival, but focus on surviving or on thriving. So not just can we live to see another day, but what does life look like now, which is a very much richer conversation, more beautiful conversation to be having.
We are talking about bullying and an innovative program that's coming to Clues Hall called It Gets Better that will be on January 30th. My guests are James Kramer of Clues Hall, Butler University Professor Brandy Oliver, and the Indiana Youth Group's Director of Programs and Training, Miranda Warden. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881 or send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're having a conversation today about LGBTQ young people and the challenges they face in bullying. The springboard for the conversation is Clues Conversation, an innovative program called It Gets Better, which is going to be it's a series of conversations and events here in the city, culminating in a performance on January 30th. We got a call earlier asking about the availability of tickets, and James has tracked down more information on how those free tickets can be located. James.
Yes, thank you. We've got Facebook posts about this, as well as then a Twitter. The Twitter code is better. So we encourage people to get their free tickets, two free tickets for the It Gets Better performance by going to a couple of those different sources. If they go to the Clues website, /events, 767, It Gets Better, and the code there is better to get those tickets.
So better is the motif here.
Better is the motif. And I think that is the key, you know, that we're talking about. It may not be over, but it is better than it was. And whether that's by having a conversation now with my family that I couldn't have had before, now we can agree to disagree.
And I should emphasize also that this program, this No Limits, is part of American Graduate, our ongoing conversation in cooperation with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and other partners about the importance of graduation rates and really about setting young people on the paths to successful and happy lives and careers. So we've been talking really about the kinds of conversations, because it does strike me that we are, you know, in this question of inclusion for LGBTQ, young people and citizens of all sorts. I mean, James, obviously, who called in earlier, sees it as a transformational period too, or Jim, I guess Jim was the caller. And I'm always fascinated at this, you know, at this point, at these points in our history, when the doors and the windows do seem to open up a little bit, how that changes, whether it's race or, you know, or women's rights issues or anything like that, how that transforms the nature of it. Miranda, I tossed you a big question right before we went to the break, and I gave you about 20 seconds to answer it. I wanted to give you a chance to amplify your answer.
Yeah, so it's nice to be able to be in a position now where, I mean, the suicidality within the LGBTQ community is still a rampant issue, and our youth are 8.5 more times more likely to attempt suicide than straight youth, and even more so if they come from a rejecting family. 46% of trans people, according to Williams Institute study they did a few years ago, have attempted suicide in their lifetime. So I don't want to minimize the fact that we are still having conversations about how to survive to the next day because of the inner psychological turmoil that these youth have because of the many rejecting systems that they may be existing in. But because the landscape is shifting and times are a-changing here a little bit, we are able to have conversations about what thriving looks like and what I want my life to look like, and how can I shape my life to be as rich and full as possible. And so though we still have very bleak conversations, not all of them are, and some of them are very hopeful.
We've got a question from a listener who didn't want to go on the air, and he or she said that would like to know if there will be a sign language or will be sign language interpreters at the event for the deaf community. James?
Those resources are available. Whenever we have requests, we fill those. So, yes, if this is we will have that.
Will you consider this a request?
Oh, yes,
then?
Yes, yes, exactly. So we'll make sure that we have someone there to sign.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That would be great. If you are just joining us, we are talking about the challenges confronting LGBTQ young people and a program coming to Clues Hall called It Gets Better. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Evelyn, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a trans woman, and I first want to say that I really appreciate you talking about the different challenges that that the T and LGBTQ faces, and that yes, we, as far as our existence in the world, we are lagging behind in that. You know, when I transitioned, one of my big worries was, I hope that I don't get killed because of this someday. And that's, you know, a pretty ridiculous situation to be in. And I just want to talk a little bit about why I think, you were asking earlier about, like, why does this bring out a kind of thing in people that maybe LGBT doesn't bring out? And I think a big part of it is being transgender to... Part of that is requesting like complicity or something from even just the general public that you meet that a gay person doesn't have to do, for example, to say that you can be gay, and if you want to, nobody could really have to know about that you run into in the regular world. But when you're transgender, it's like to be seen as yourself, you are requesting that other people, you know, for example, the right pronouns, names and such like that. And I think some people see that that's a much more, that they have to be involved in it, that it's not just some private thing of like who you have sex with. It's, this is who I am as a person, and I need help from you as a human to help me be seen as who I am. And I think that's one reason that it brings such a hard thing on transgender people. I don't think that's wrong of us, but I do think that that's probably a big part of it.
Thanks very much for the call and for sharing your insights, Evelyn.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So, Miranda, response.
Yeah, well, thank you, Evelyn, because it's still absolutely a hostile environment to be trans and to be openly trans. So thank you for your thoughts and being open about that. And I agree. I think it's coming out when we're talking with our youth, our trans and gender nonconforming youth, about coming out. There's way more to consider, specifically in regards to safety and how to navigate those issues with our trans and gender nonconforming youth than there are with our gay, lesbian, and those who are of a sexual minority identity. And a lot of it has to do with bathrooms, and a lot of it has to do with schools and sports teams and families, and how's my family going to get used to call me by a different name if they will or not, and different pronouns if they will or not, and on top of the mental health issues I'm dealing with already, like the anxiety and the depression and the things that are come along with being gender nonconforming in this society. So I would just echo exactly what she was saying, that there's a requirement almost, if you will, in the transition period to come out, and it's a scary thing. And those youth and those individuals need our support in that, and not our fear and not our hate.
Brandy, do we do a disservice both to the discussion and to the people that it involves? You know, there is, we tend to think of, even when we make reference to the idea that there is an LGBTQ community, when in fact these are individuals and they have their own stories and each one of the challenges. But assuming, as Evelyn's pointed out here, that there are separate challenges for someone who is transgender as opposed to someone who is bisexual, do we do service by lumping them? Disservice by lumping all of them together?
It's an interesting question and a really excellent point. I think that we all sitting up here wouldn't want to be lumped together with anyone. And so even within transgender community, everyone's unique and everyone's experience and their struggles are going to be unique. So we can't even just say the T community, so to speak. So I think that we have to be really mindful, and hopefully some of these conversations will start to unfold of when we engage with youth and they are brave enough to seek that adult person to confide in, whether that be in a community organization, their school, their family, their church, that they just listen and they are just walking with that youth and not asking and probing, but helping them understand that they're there to support them no matter what, no matter their, and just let them be ready in their own time. I think that that's really important, and to take their lead rather than trying to put them back in a box or make it comfortable for us. And I think sometimes that's the most challenging thing, is we need to be okay in our own discomfort.
We are talking about challenges facing LGBTQ young people in our society. Jeffrey, welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon. I didn't start listening until about halfway through the program, so I don't know if it was mentioned that the Indianapolis Men's Chorus and about 40 of us musicians from the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra put together an It Gets Better video that was recorded and taped down at University of Indianapolis about 2 years ago.
It has not been mentioned so far, so thank you very much for bringing it to our attention, Jeffrey.
Yeah, my pleasure. It should be available on YouTube or It Gets Better website, but just thought I'd mention it. So thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye. So what do you hope out of this, James, will be the lasting impact?
For people to feel comfortable to talk to one another. I mean, no, going into this, as we've said, that we all are individuals. We like to feel like we have a community, but yet we want to be respected for our individuality within that community. Mm-hmm. So that means that I'm going to be encountering other people who have different views, different perspectives, different situations, and to learn from that rather than to just oppose it because it's different from me. If we could do that, I think we would accomplish just volumes.
Miranda, you know, obviously the pace of change here has been significant, and as we've talked around and talked through in this program, we're at one of kind of those pivot points in history right now. At some level, when is this work done? I mean, what is the finish line here?
You know, world peace, I guess, is what we're saying here. I mean, but truly, that I think when we're talking about oppressed identities, there's always work to be done. We got marriage equality, but we don't have an inclusive civil rights code, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have Dr. Martin Luther King 50, 60 years ago, and we have the Black Lives Matter movement now. I don't think this work is ever done until this, you know, kind of different world emerges. But I think that listening, my big thing, you know, we talk about this dialogue and conversation, mm-hmm. but a conversation isn't one unless there's listening involved. And a lot of people have a desire to, you know, want to state their opinions and talk to people, especially talking about youth and LGBTQ youth, talk to them and talk at them. But that listening piece of the conversation, I think, is missing the most. And so I think we don't know what a finish line yet is or what it could look like. But we, right now, I think we need to listen.
Brandy, you know, in terms of this as a transformational moment, you know, is the civil rights piece of this a kind of resting point, or what follows from here?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's next. I think that's also what's exciting. But to kind of think about what you had asked earlier to Miranda and myself mm-hmm. about where we are, and I think we've seen movement, at least I'm hopeful that we have, from tolerance. I think when I was a practicing school counselor, that was the message. Let's just teach tolerance. Let's tolerate mm-hmm. each other while we're here from 8 to 3, and then we'll go on our merry way. And I think we've moved past that.
Which in its way was kind of a demeaning approach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're going to tolerate you.
Mm-hmm. You right. Know? It's not a message that's a very welcoming school community or any kind of community. So I think we're moving past that to supportive and accepting communities. And to kind of highlight, I know you were talking about the graduation rate and college and career readiness, and that's a huge conversation right now. And we know we have to create safe, accepting learning communities for our kids to be college and career ready. And that's not going to happen unless we're willing to have these types of conversations to be inclusive for all students. So that's where I hope the next steps, you know, we continue to have and examine and have schools, you know, take a really close look at their school climate and, you know, what do we need to do and put some action steps in place.
Do you get the sense that people are more open to these kinds of conversations now than they would have been even a decade ago? I'm going to go back in reverse order here with Brandon.
I definitely do. I think that it's exciting to get emails. Just last week I had an email from a school that was asking, you know, do you have a recommendation? Can you come? We really need some PD around this. And so I think that there's much more opportunity and willingness to have those conversations.
Miranda.
Yeah, I agree. And IYG, I'm going to plug us here. Please use us as a resource. We're an activity center for...
You can throw out a URL and other contact information.
At anyouthgroup.org. but we also, we support families and we do training for educators and social service providers and for the community at large. And so to echo what Brandy was saying, we are getting calls all the time saying, not only do we want to have this conversation, we need to. We can't, this is not an issue and not a population. These are not human beings we can ignore anymore. And I think that's beautiful and uplifting.
James.
No, I think that it's, for us, it's been an opportunity and really looking forward to the week of activities. But we've been leading up to this. We sent a call out to visual artists in our community, in the area. They responded with their own reaction to and creativity towards. So it's a performance. It's a dialogue. It's a visual component that people can come and see. It hits on so many different levels. And I think that that is improving. We've seen the theater shifts and changes as to what kind of shows are coming out. It's they're edgier. They have more content. They have more for people to come and again be entertained, but take away some real messages here. And that I think creates the environment where it's okay for me to take it back to my peers who maybe weren't there and share the message and hope that that's. I do believe it is better. But there is no
room
finish line. There is,
to
reiterate that, yes.
And real quickly, and as we get ready to wrap up here, if people want to get those free tickets again, how do they go about
doing
that?
Yes, they can go to the Clues website and then get to the point where they put in the code for better.
Better? Okay.
Better.
And if they go to the Clues website, it'll pop up and it will say it gets better, the performance, and the code word is better at that point.
Better, yes.
And didn't you say they can also do it through Twitter?
They can. They can go to that as well. And we've got our Facebook as well. So a couple different methods.
Any number. And we'll try to put all of this information as well on our Facebook page here. Well, that will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank my guests, James Kramer, Brandy Oliver, and Miranda Wharton. I've enjoyed talking with all of you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Certainly, thank you. And I would like to invite our listeners to come back on Thursday when we're going to be talking about the Talking Wall, one of the newest additions to Indianapolis's cultural trail. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.